This podcast is brought to you by Australia's LGBTQIA plus community media organisation, Joy. Keep Joy on air by becoming a member, a subscriber, or donate. Head to joy.org.au. Joy, a diverse sound for a diverse community.
When two distinct voices collide, well, the whole story changes. And with a fresh Best Pop Duets ranking doing the rounds at the moment, we're less about the order and more about the magic and what counts as a duet and why they endure and why we belt them out in the car. Well, joining us is Associate Professor Lauren Rosewarne.
Gender, sexuality and pop culture. There isn't much Lauren Rosewarne doesn't know. And if she doesn't, we'll make it up.
It worked, Lauren. I didn't think that was going to work then. But it played.
It did. We're on.
We're on, and we've got you on old technology today, but still we've got you, which we're grateful for. Let's talk about duets. What counts as a duet? Is it, sort of that genuine story melting together, or is it just two voices?
Yeah, look, it ultimately depends on what label that you want to use. You know, is it just two people singing, or is it a song that's definitely crafted around having two voices that are each singing distinct parts of the song? Because there's lots of situations where there are two people in a band, like Wham, for example. We don't really think of that as a duet in the way that we would, for example, with George Michael doing, I think he did a duet with Elton John. So that's when there's two separate voices singing a song that's designed to be a two-person vocal.
You just made me think about, you know, when you see them singing the duets live on stage and they're looking into each other's eyes as though they're longing for each other.
Which is sometimes quite odd, because when Dolly Parton and Kenny Rogers did Islands in the Streams, which is one of the first songs I remember as a kid singing in the car, my parents say I was obsessed with this song. There was years of rumours that they were having an affair, because the chemistry and the looking into each other's eyes and singing a love song made it seem to everyone, well, how could you sing that song and not love each other?
I suppose just on that chemistry, when does, I suppose, contrast beat similarity when it comes to duets? You know, examples, I suppose, of voices that shouldn't work together. You think, oh, my God. But it just works.
Yeah, so the example that people often point to about that is Freddie Mercury and David Bowie singing Under Pressure. And that is two new singers who have very different styles and yet come together in this song. Almost, you know, you're listening to the song. Obviously, it's a great song, but you listen to it, it's almost two people singing separately in a way that doesn't really seem harmonious. But then they kind of build up to this sort of magical collaboration at the end, which makes it a song that feels very, very beloved, even if it's such a sort of almost jarring juxtaposition of voices.
Do you think duets work better when they're dramatic?
If we think of the ones, I was certain this, our conversation, we should say, is coming from a Guardian article that ranked the top 20. And there seems to be the songs that they've given the, you know, highest accolades, if you like, to are the ones that there's a story there and also that there is drama. So this is often it's a theme of love or at least loss or friendship, where there are two people singing around a subject matter that is emotionally intense.
Why do duets, I suppose, though, they almost, how can I say this? It's like they amplify heartbreak, isn't it? And desire more than perhaps someone singing a solo track. Do you reckon?
But there is some research that talks about, for example, I remember reading research that spoke about why Adele's music is so heartstring tugging and why single person music, or at least one singer, often has that feel of being more heart wrenching than a band. And there's something about the intimacy there between one person and a listener, or at least that's the theory of why we feel that way. I think with the duet, again, different from a band, is that this is often sounding like two people people singing to each other. So it's almost like watching a play or a film where there's a chemistry, but also that there's, again, going back to the Dolly Parton example, that there's got to be something here, that we're getting a kind of look in to a relationship that's playing out. And I don't even think, I mean, the Dolly Parton example is decades old, but even something more recently, if you think of Lady Gaga and Bradley Cooper from A Star Is Born, where they did Shallows, and you know, it did very, very well in the charts. It also led to people thinking, surely they're in a relationship. How can you create that chemistry if it's not naturally there? And for years they both fought rumors of being in a relationship because how much it seems like we all bought into the narrative of the song.
Someone just texted in saying, I love Tonight, I Celebrate My Love by Peebo Bryson and Roberta Flack. Do you know what? Because they texted in, this is now Snooze 94.9 today. I'm going to play it later.
Excellent.
Now, Lauren,
well, you haven't had to think of a song list today, have you?
They just come in. But it's amazing.
Love songs and dedication.
People love duets. I'm quite surprised, to be honest with you. From the ranking, though, we had Kylie Minogue and Nick Cave. That landed pretty good.
Yeah, I think that, again, there's probably an age skew of people tend to remember songs that are associated with when they were teenagers, and I suspect that might have something to do with the Guardian rankings as well. Number one was Peter Gabriel and Kate Bush's Don't Give Up, which isn't really a love song so much as a ballad of sorts, but it seems like it's more of a sort of someone at their lowest point being lifted up by somebody else. So it's got the sort of despair and hope as well.
Here's a serious question. How do status, gender, genre, or era differences shape the drama that we hear?
That's an interesting question. I liked, or at least I found it interesting that in the Guardian article, they ruled out a lot of rap music that had guest vocal components because they felt that was done for, you know, to broaden the audience or to draw attention, and you know, those type of collabs which aren't really a duet. And I think that also kind of highlights there is something lending a duet towards being ballady, right? You played one before we came on air, or at least that I was listening to before I came on air, which was, and it was more R&B, but generally the entries on these lists tend to be ones we associate with ballads, and I think that's partly because that music tends to be very heavily sentimental as well.
It has been very ballady today. We had Whitney Houston and Mariah Carey, When You Believe, which is one of my favourite ones as well. Do you reckon, Lauren, that they're good for karaoke?
They lend itself perfectly to karaoke because the idea of karaoke is people are often too nervous to go up on their own, have a drunken friend
with
you.
That's true.
And it's easy. Yeah, there's a safety in numbers, two people behind the mic. But I think the other thing is also we flatter ourselves by thinking we can sing both parts. So it also lends itself to being in a car and singing along thinking, well, you know, I'm good enough in my vocal prowess to do both bits.
Oh, there's no way I would do karaoke. Lauren, you and I would be quite funny doing it together.
It wouldn't it? Well, firstly, we're in this social situation and singing in front of people. It's really hitting all the nails.
It is, definitely. Lauren, great to chat with you. Before we let you go, you need to pick a duet, please. What are we going to play for you?
Yeah, look, I'm going down the cheesy path and doing Barbara Streisand, Neil Diamond, You Don't Bring Me Flowers, which did not make the Guardian list, but is a beautiful song.
We're going to play it. Lauren, thanks for joining us. We'll chat to you next week.
Talk to you next week.
Bye.
Thanks, Lauren.
Thanks for listening to another Joy podcast brought to you by Australia's LGBTQIA+ community media organisation, Joy. Help us keep Joy on air. Head to joy.org.au. Joy, a diverse sound for a diverse community.